100 Word Stories. Good morning, everyone. Okay, that wasn't good enough. Let's try it again. Good morning, everyone. Okay, that response was much better. This is the 100 Word Stories podcast at one a day until the day I die.com. It's Sunday. Well, I'm recording this on Sunday. Don't you hate it when podcasters go, well, it's Sunday. Wait, no, hold on. You could be listening to this on Monday, and it can't be good morning because you may be listening to this. Oh, screw it. Good morning. It's Sunday. Time for the weekly challenge, where I post the topic, and you come up with the stories. It could be a subject. It could be a phrase. I think topic works, but it doesn't have to be the topic of it. You could go like, I don't like that topic. I'm going to write about flowers. Oh, those poor cartoonists. I'm going to do a story about cartoonists or protests or Mohammed or... Okay. Who am I to say no? So, we got a bunch of... Let's call them stories. Sometimes people have songs or poems or they just scream. When was the last time you screamed? I know the last time I screamed when the cat was outside in 30-degree weather, came in and had cold paws. Yeah! And it was wet, too. Oh, man. So, all these things going on in the world, the incident happens, and then you have all the finger pointing, and... Oh, no, no, the right wing is going to jump on this and be fodder for them. And the right wing is going to go like, oh, we have to kill them all to stop them. Oh, we don't really mean to say we kill them all. Just, you know, they should look at so many of these. And it's just fucked up, man. And you lose sight of the fact that murder is bad. Well, okay, murder is bad. Killing sometimes is necessary. And then you get the animal rights people, and you get the this and the that, and everyone jumps on it. It's so fucked up now. Do you think there's a solution to anything? Or do you think we just keep adding problems to problems until it's all just like, and the, just, I don't know. I just write stories. You know, all this, I am this, I am that. You know, instead of doing, you know, what, je suis, weef, you know, I am a Jew, instead of posting up a hashtag of that or walk around with a sign, go the distance. Put on a kippah or a yarmulke, wear a Star of David, and walk around a predominantly Arab or Muslim neighborhood. And, you know, that's better than that, because, you know, you aren't. You just aren't. You know, you really want to show the you want to walk the walk, talk the talk, gawk the gawk. You know, I am Charlie. Okay, fine. Draw a fucking cartoon. Write a controversial column. You're not. Oh, I'm going to post pictures of pencils and the pen is mightier than the sword. Oh, fuck you. That's not what it's about. You know, why don't you paint your dogs playing poker in your clown photos? Am I Charlie? My answer to that has been, I don't know. Ask Muhammad. Those who know will get a laugh out of that one. And if you don't fucking laugh, screw you. Hey, are you missing the rants already? Guess what? You're soaking in it, Nancy. So that has been the week that was, I guess. Glad for coming along the ride with me. So we got a whole bunch of stories on the topic of piracy. What am I doing piracy this time of year? It's not Talk Like a Pirate Day. That's September 19th. We've done that. And I did a whole, what was it, George the Pirate? You know, George was a pirate, but he wasn't a very good pirate. That was a fun series to write. And yet I could only get six of them, or or seven. I'm not sure. You play something out, and it's like, okay, good. Ooh, that felt great. All right, let's have ice cream. Or, and then she got a pony. Well, that's how I end stuff with, okay, then she got a pony. Okay, move on. It's been so hard to write some stories recently. I've got so much on my mind. But I've got so much on my mind all the time anyway. When I don't have anything on my mind, it's harder. The writing process is just, ugh. But at least I'm back on the treadmill twice a day, trying to do the full hour, trying to get at least 2 miles an hour, gunning for 2.5, and I want to end it at 3 miles an hour. But I'm just wafting back and forth, bouncing around 2:45. I don't think the little pizza helped last night. It was a crappy store-bought spinach pizza, and I added little bits of ham. I chopped up honey-baked ham from the holidays, put it in the fridge. It's ready for salads. Did the same with green peppers. Then I got pre-chopped cilantro. It's normally, it's not for pizza, although cilantro on pizza, that might be interesting. In the sauce, maybe. But these are all for the salads that when I come home, you know, grab a chopped Asian salad thing, you know, a buck or two at Kroger. Although I went to HEB yesterday. Man, do they have a better selection or what? Their parking lot sucks. You know, Kroger's parking lot is great. Unless it's December, then they got all those goddamn trees. You know, didn't they cut down a bunch of trees to make the parking lot? Now they put trees back in it in December. Just the shit that we do to ourselves. Anyway, that's enough of me rambling. I think you're sick of it. Man, that shows you that I'm still not over this crap. It's not like I'm coughing and sneezing every minute. You know, it's when I get on a roll and it's like, brain, need oxygen. Quick, cough up the junk. So, let's get on with the stories. Man, that peaked the, you need a cough suppressant or whatever. One of the things is those sneeze filters or yawn filters or whatever, pop filters, coffee filters. I use K-cups. I don't need coffee filters. The weekly challenge is on piracy. We've got a whole bunch of stories. We got John Musico, we got Muncie, Lizzie, Jeffrey, Richard, Zach is back, Anima, Serendipity, Rick Thomas, Spate. We got a new guy in here, Scott. Hold on, let's see, Scott Wilsey. You can put his name on the thing. Tom comes in, no updates. Norval Joe, Chelsea, Tura, Cliff. Yep. Cliff made it under the wire. So let's go ahead and roll, and I'll see you at the ending. Here's John Musico.
Piracy by John Musico. I first came across the issue of piracy when I tried downloading music from the internet. When I worked on a TV series which included picture-in-picture scenes, I further learned the fine for copyright infringement is $150,000 per transgression. So, I posted as many of my own pictures on the net as I could. I gave them unique titles that were easy for me to Google. In just 1 week, I found 10 of my pics used on some stranger's website. My scam was a bit evil. However, with a million in the bank, I'll sleep just fine.
Hello again, Clockwork Ninjas, from Munzee, back once again with a story for you to enjoy or not enjoy as you see fit. I'm not the boss of you, after all. Do what you feel. Pirates, by Christopher Monroe. When Johnny Depp was kidnapped by actual Somali pirates, we all agreed it was going to be amazing. News networks went berserk, comedians got ready, and we were primed to follow this amazing, if socially irrelevant, story wherever it might take us. It was, after all, the sort of amazing TV that didn't come along every day, and we were excited to make the most of it. 3 days later, the pirates killed him. Because, in real life, pirates do that. It was kind of a downer. Oh well, hopefully the next thing will be a little more fun. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. That's the way it goes, Clockwork Ninjas, and I'll see you again next week.
Hello, this is Lizzie, and this is my story on the topic piracy. They approached the ship at night. Two went up to the control room. The rest looked for the crew quarters. Everyone was fast asleep. The captain wasn't. After a scuffle and a black eye, he gave up. Much to his surprise, the leader of the group demanded the cargo. But it's books. The boxes were unloaded and taken away. The school of the village would finally teach proper English. The media hurried to state that even pirates have a heart. The authorities protested vehemently, and the pirates' only thought was that in the future they'd make their demands more efficiently. This is my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizzygoodgoff.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher. Before I start, I just want to say two things. One, yay, whining, bitching, and moaning. So thank you, Lawrence. And secondly, welcome Jessica, and welcome back Cliff. So I'm here for week 355. Is it 355? We'll say it's week 355, on the subject of piracy. When I started, I looked at the topic and I read it as the topic of privacy, and I wrote something down. Fortunately, I lost it, so when I went to start over again, I read the title correctly, and so I have two stories for you today. My first story is called Spoilers. I enjoy watching movies on DVD rather than in the theater. Not only is my living room more comfortable and quieter than the theater, with no rowdy kids or the glow of smartphone screens interrupting the story, but movies always come with a little extra. Even before the action begins, the FBI warning shows up, and I know G-Men are on the job, stopping movie piracy. I'm not quite sure how I could charge a fee for watching the piece of trash that's about to follow, but I sleep more soundly, knowing my more clever neighbors aren't making a buck out of it. My second story is called Bad Day at the Office. Two Somali pirates were at a bar, talking business over a vintage fermented goat's milk. How was your last kidnapping? Wonderful, Allah be praised. A rich American infidel and his mistress on a yacht. I received $2 million in ransom. Allah be praised. On my last trip, I caught a small cruise ship. It was a fundraising trip for both Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush. Each wants to be the next leader of the great Satan. That must have resulted in a large ransom indeed. One would think so, but both the Democrats and Republicans refused to pay even a single cow for the return. The Republicans told me to push Mr. Bush overboard, while the Democrats offered me a show on MSNBC to do the same to Mrs. Clinton. And that's it for me this week. I will be back next week with more stories.
Good morning, everybody. Well, I'm Richard, and these are my stories. George's story, part 88. Waiting. When George finally found the waiting room shown in the images, he was somewhat shocked to find the room already occupied by a rather scruffy-looking guy, thumbing through an old magazine. Taking a seat, George cleared his throat and introduced himself. I'm George. And you are? Bored. Came the response. Got anything to read on you? I've read this piece on internet piracy about 20 times now. George shook his head. Pity, said the stranger, returning to his magazine. So, what exactly do we do now? Asked George. The stranger nodded towards the waiting room sign. We wait. My second story on the theme of privacy? No, it's on the theme of piracy. It's called Yar. Where did the romance of piracy go? Long gone are the days of splicing the main brace, muskets and cannon, peg legs and brass spyglasses. And I can't remember when I last saw a privateer run up the Jolly Roger and heave to. Talking parrots and cutlasses have had their day, and you're more likely to hear a string of Somalian than shiver me timbers in a piratey voice. Swashbuckling adventure on the high seas isn't quite the same with machine guns and machetes. But some things haven't changed. You can still make a tidy profit in dollars rather than doubloons. And my last story today is called Yo-Ho-Ho. I won't say that I knew what I wanted to be when I grew up. My ambitions changed from day to day. When I said I wanted to be a pirate, my parents told me to be realistic. So, I opted for astronaut. To which they said, "Come back down to Earth, son." I tried, but I didn't have the brains for a surgeon or the brawn for a fireman. So instead I lurk all day in my room, burning counterfeit DVDs to sell down the market. Prove my parents wrong. I grew up to be a pirate anyway. And that's that. So until next week, goodbye everyone.
This is 1 over 2 orating Zach Mann's story of Ratsy. Ratsy was born on March 14th, so naturally, he was given the first name Pi. He loved television, especially movies with rats in them. Especially ones in which rats worked in kitchens, like Rizzo helping Long John in the galley. On a computer tablet, he would watch cooking videos on YouTube, then practice cooking when he was alone. Eventually, he achieved his lifelong dream, becoming a real-life ratatouille. Now he makes the best desserts. You can look far and wide, but you are very unlikely to find another rodent who is as good a pastry chef as Piratsy.
Good morning. Anima here with my submission for Weekly Challenge 455, The Dream Pirates. James woke with a start. He tried to remember his dream, the one with savage Indians and tree houses, but only came up with half images of clocks, hooks, and toothy crocodiles. He tried to remember. He thought he'd been flying. He thought he'd been happy. But even as he roused himself out of that half state of early morning awareness, James felt the joy slipping away. Sailing ships became math problems. His overdue book report and homeroom filled his waking senses. The dream pirates had struck again, stealing childhood's dreams worth gold, replacing them with realities, wooden nickels, and fears. Thanks. The first week of 2015 has expired, and looking forward for another 51 to come. Have a great week.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. You laughed when you read the warnings. Piracy is a crime. So what, you thought? Everybody does it, and the entertainment industry makes enough money as it is. Oh, they certainly do. Enough money to employ me, and I'm coming to get you. For every song you've ever stolen, every movie you've taken, and every game you've copied, I am going to make you pay the price. And I'll expect every penny, with interest, paid in full on demand. I will find you. And you will pay. And, if you can't, I'm going to make you walk the plank.
Good morning. This is Rick. Good to be with you again. This is my contribution on the topic of piracy. A not so roughshod pillaging. They met in a bar by the bay. Green eyes, brown hair, broad-shouldered, he ravaged her again and again. He and his friends had taken over her apartment like pirates raiding a ship. They ate her food, drank her liquor, smoked, cursed, treated her as a servant wench. At one point or another, they had all put their hands on her inappropriately. The raucous behavior was incessant. Her home, a wreck in the space of a long weekend. Now they were gone. Order restored. Her heart ached for their return. They were the best 3 days of her life.
Across America, starting at... But I am so glad...
You are now tuned to Channel State, where Spate provides 100 words. But you are responsible for the pictures in your head. For weekly challenge...
455.
Using the topic of...
piracy.
Spate has a story called...
The Choice.
Let's make it now.
Slow death is delicate agony. An Esther Williams black and white synchronized water ballet of goodbyes. Fully extended arms as metronomes, reaching in unison, counting the moments. Backstroke, goodbye. Backstroke, goodbye. Swimming away until strength is no more and then quietly slipping beneath the surface of the pool. Fade out. Fast death is an act of piracy. An abrupt Charles Lawton-led boarding under cover of darkness. Pillaging substance, raping permanence. It sets the ship afire, leaving you to jump alone into the black turbulence of the sea. Celluloid breaks, flapping to projector white light. Which ending would you choose?
Well, that's it. Thank you for listening and thank you, Lawrence, for hosting. Hope everybody's week is filled with pleasant adjectives. Until next time.
Hi, I'm Scott Wilsey. This is my story on piracy. Peddling bootleg DVDs in Asia can be a risky business. Authorities love to make statements with high-profile arrests, and even better if the offender is a foreigner. Randy knew this, but he wasn't worried. 10 years of piracy and still counting. Besides, it takes a pirate to catch a pirate, he'd say. Therefore, he was a little startled one day when his front door flew past him and crashed into the back wall. In the doorway stood an ancient buccaneer, teetering on a wooden leg.
100 years of piracy and still counting!
The pillager bellowed, unsheathing his sword. Well, that was my lame story on piracy. Thank you very much. You can find my website at saw66.com, and you can find a podcast I currently do with my friend Ronnie, Haberdashery Podcast, at habdeb.com. Thank you, and bye.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got two stories tonight. The first, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 84. Where am I? Said Timmy. We are with Tamburlaine, said Sid. The boy and the bandit were standing in a dimly lit cube 16 by 16. On one wall hung a 16th century mirror. Against another was a child's seesaw. In the center, a green velvet blackjack dealer's station. Behind, a man was removing single sheets of paper from a four-ream stack and carefully writing on each. "This is the big bad secret?" troubled Tim. "Oh, indeed, Master Parsons. You're looking at piracy on a galactic level. Ask about a secret." "Who killed Kennedy?" The dealer wrote the following. And the second story. In the name of the game, Tony was a runner. This was in the days of 5 1/4-inch floppies. He had gaming friends in both the South and North Bay. In San Jose, he knew Sector Track Bitsome Crackers. In Concord, he knew this guy with a garage full of QA Kick Data Life discs. The best way to go to jail for copyright infringement was in the labyrinth of the law, which was mail fraud. Thus, the need for someone to be the sneaker net. That was Tony. Buses to Bart, Bart to buses. No one in the chain charged for their respective service. It was piracy without profit. And that's it.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 455 with a prompt of piracy. Don't forget, January 26th, the release date of Shooting Stars, a teenage vampire love story from a boy's perspective. You'll love it, I'm telling you. You'll love it. You will. Well, here's my story. Harold enjoyed his position as assistant headmaster at a boys' school, though he knew he was hated by most of the students. The boys could hate him. He had what they wanted, and he knew the little brats would pay well for it. Over the years, he had tried many ways to turn a few bucks by smuggling items into the dorms. He sold soda, energy drinks, candy, and pizza. Hands down, Harold's most successful hustle was selling pirated video games. They cost almost nothing to rip off the internet, and there wasn't a boy who didn't want one. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
The Pirate by Chelsea. He stood at the bow of his ship, looking out at the calm, blue ocean before him. All his life, he'd been told no at every turn. That simple word had shaped him into the man he was today. Every person who'd ever told him no, hoping to break him a little more each day, had only served to make him stronger. The only thing they had accomplished was to push him closer to this day. "Hoist our colors," he called to his crew. He looked up at the black and white flag caught in the ocean breeze. He was free.
Tura Brazoyanu here, with a story about piracy. "Arr!" said Captain Jack Black to his crew. "Yarhar!" they responded. "Listen up, mateys," the captain went on. "Afore Billy Bones died, he gave me his treasure map. It's a little island, don't appear in the charts, 3 days out to sea from here. Are you raring to go?" "Yarr!" they cheered. "Google Maps doesn't show it," said one crewman, consulting his iPhone. "It'd be tidal, it'd be," riposted the captain. "Only shows at low tide." "That would be a shipping hazard," said another. "NOAA maps say there's nothing there." "Arr," said the captain. "Piracy just isn't fun anymore."
Good morning. Cliff here with a very late entry for the 100-word challenge. I hope I make it in time. And here's my story on the subject of piracy. In the golden age of piracy, she was the best. She would have been the pirate queen, but nobody ever knew her name. She looted 7 Spanish galleons in 1 raid, sent them to the ocean floor, and everyone thought they had sunk in a storm. She raided ships in the oceans Atlantic, Indian, and Pacific. She once convinced the entire crew of a French treasure ship to abandon their vessel and make for shore in lifeboats due to ghosts and curses. And who was this mysterious woman? Weren't you listening? I told you nobody ever knew her name. Okay, kind of silly, but there you go. Thanks, and talk to you next week.
For centuries, your status in piracy was determined by how much you stole. Then, the most important factor was the color of your beard. Bluebeard, blackbeard, yellowbeard, you've heard of them, right? Pirates started dyeing their beards with all kinds of colors. Red beard, orange beard, pink beard, ochre beard. Things got way out of hand, and merchant ships were sailing safely while pirates were too busy dyeing their beards. A conclave of pirate captains came together to set beard standards. No more wild colors. Beards could only be dyed to match the pirates' hair color. That's when they started using colored ribbons.
Word stories. And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories on the topic or subject or seed word or inspiration or whatever you want to call it. But the word was piracy, or the phrase, or the concept, or the muse, whatever you want. I don't know. Look at it any way you want to. However, that's it. We're done today. Isn't that great? Oh, you want to do more? Well, you can go to oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Check out the next, let's settle on topic of mess. Well, there are going to be stories until then every day. I mean, one a day until the day. That's the name of the site. Thank you for listening and being a part of the weekly challenge, whether you write, listened, commented, did handstands, cartwheels. All these people rallying in Paris with, oh, wait, no, they're not for this. Never mind. I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you for listening, and as always, keep it brief.